Hello, this is Maurice Harker. For almost 20 years, we have been building a team of hundreds of clinicians, coaches, mentors, and people just like you who have discovered and love to teach life-changing principles. Our coaches have made a special investment to make sure you can hear these messages. You will hear stories of triumph and healing from specialists and people having a real life just like you. We hope to increase your awareness that you are not alone, and there are so many others who are enlisted in this work to train and heal the whole family. You will find these principles are an amazing synergy of the most accurate, cutting-edge science with familiar gospel principles. We are passionate eternal warriors, and we hope you will join us.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. Wow. And thanks so much for reaching out to us. We really like to hear from you. Our email is always in the show notes. If you want to say, hey, we wish you'd talk more about this, or we wish you'd have a friend of mine come and be on your podcast, or I know something about this, these Eternal Warrior principles and topic, these topics that you discuss here in these coaching episodes or the other episodes of this Like Dragons, Did They Fight podcast, we just would love to hear from you so we can create content that is something that you just love. And we love to hear that you are loving what we're doing. So thanks for that. And we ask you to please share the episodes that are meaningful to you with people that you love. All right. Today, we are so excited because this topic is so needed in our human experience. I'm here with Rosalyn and Kelly and Markel. We are all Eternal Warriors coaches. You could find us at lifechangingservices.org under the training and support tab. Just look for coaches after that when that drop down comes up, and you'll find us there. We'd love to talk to you and have a consultation just with you to say hi and celebrate your cool life and relate to you and say, I know, right? It gets messy sometimes. And that's exactly right. But let's work on this and reframe it together. So today, transforming shame is what we're covering. And I'm just going to turn the time over to Markel because Markel has expressed just some real passion and interest about this topic that we cover in the Our Eternal Warriors coaching. And so I just said, so cool. How have you facilitated our discussion? So Markel, you're on.
All right. Thank you, Karen. And it's a pleasure to be here with everyone. And as I have reflected on shame and transforming shame, there are so many different angles that shame comes at us. And I think sometimes it comes very subtly. It's just, it's very underlying thoughts that are usually lies and limiting beliefs about ourselves and really attacking, who we are and what we believe. And so some of the different aspects of shame are procrastination, hesitation, doubting, fear of failure, fear of success, which is kind of surprising because we should be excited if we're successful, right? Or fear of rejection, fear of judgment, fear of not fitting in. And then perfectionism is another one. And I've really been noticing that perfectionism thread, weaving through people's lives and really holding them back. Yeah. Brené Brown often talks about perfectionism appearing as flawlessness. And shame often will, appear when we're doing really great things and we feel like a failure still. I know I've felt that way before. I'm like, okay, wow, I feel like I'm a failure, even though I've done everything that I can, even though I'm doing all of these great things. And so, Karen and Kelly and Rosalyn, what are your thoughts around that feeling like we're a failure, even when we're doing our best and we're doing good things? Go ahead.
Well, I just had this happen to me a couple of weeks ago, and it took a week of self-positive talk to get me back to where I didn't feel shame. But I had to give, I didn't have to give, I didn't have the opportunity to give a talk in sacrament meeting about Sister Cordon's talk, where she gave us the charge to figure out who we are, to know who we are, and then to come unto Christ and don't come alone. And I was so inspired and felt the Spirit so strongly when I was given that talk, because I love that we have that extra insight, you know, that Satan tries to destroy our identity. And I started to get a little bit carried away in my talk as far as time went, because there was another speaker after me. And the bishop had to stand up and touch me on the shoulder and say, it's time to stop. And so I wrapped up the talk and I sat down. And for a week, I battled those feelings of shame. That's what's wrong with me. I can't even stay within my time limit. I had my talk written out, but I got so carried away in the Spirit that I didn't even look at my talk. You know what I mean? Those of you who've ever had that experience, but it was a real battle for me. For a whole week, I battled these feelings of shame. And yet, like you said, I knew I was doing something really good. I knew I could see, especially the youth. I work with the youth. In my ward, I could see in their eyes that they were listening and they were hearing the message. And yet I felt shamed. And of course, the bishop has to do things like that. You know, there was nothing wrong with what he had to do. And there was nothing wrong with me giving a talk that I was exuberant about and went a little bit over. There was just a little bit of, I don't know, I just think, It's hard. It's a hard line for both parties, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you so much for sharing that, Kelly. Why do you think Satan wanted you to feel shameful about that?
I'm pretty sure he doesn't like that I share this message. I'm pretty sure. I have the opportunity to affect the rising generation in a really big way. And yeah, if he can get me to keep my mouth shut, which is, that was the mind chatter, you cannot be trusted to talk because you can't keep it within the right bounds. You know, you can't be trusted. Because I didn't tell you this, but the bishop had to do that in a meeting where I was teaching the youth about the children and youth program with their parents as well. I went over time and he had to stop me. So that was the second time he had to stop me. So that's probably why the battle was so big.
Right. And
ladies, there's somebody's doing something with their hands. It's making a little squishy, tappy background noise. Is it typing on a computer or somebody doing that?
I don't think it's me.
Okay.
But I did hear it.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just thinking that usually doesn't happen. So I was just going to say, is anybody doing that? Because we just wanted to say we can hear it.
Okay. It might be me because I hold my, I'll just set it down because you could probably still hear me without me holding it.
Okay.
Okay.
And Kelly, I wanted to go one step further. You said you really worked on positive talk for a week to overcome that shame. Can you share with us some of the things that helped you overcome that shame and something that's often referred to as shame resilience?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to. One of the things that I do when I'm really struggling is I refer back to my patriarchal blessing. And in my patriarchal blessing, it says that I will be a proficient teacher. And that I will, and I'm feeling that now, in my closing out, I will be able to share the beauties of righteous living. And so I remind, you know, I just repeated those things every morning to help me to overcome that. This is what it means to share the beauties of righteous living. This is what it means to be a proficient teacher, to speak with the Spirit. I love having a patriarchal blessing, because whenever I'm in a spin and whenever I catch a lie, I know that God doesn't lie. So that if I use my patriarchal blessing as my rebuff, it's like when the Savior used the scriptures against Satan, you know, it's like, this is God's truth about me. And so you cannot stop me. I am not shutting my mouth about truths that I know. But it took a week of really concentrating on that. And the other thing that I did was say another truth, which was that I feel the Spirit every day because I turn to the Lord every day in my power goals. And I can trust when I'm being led by the Spirit. I have to know that. I have to remind myself of that. By my doing my morning routine, doing my power goals, doing my mom power goals, I'm turning to the Lord. I can trust because He's promised me so many times in the scriptures and with the words of the prophets that I'm doing what I was told to do so that I could count on the fact that the Spirit is with me, guiding me, and that I do not need to feel shame about the fact that I felt the Spirit and got a little bit past my time. So that's kind of how I had to battle that.
I love that. So many great things. Thank you, Kelly. Go ahead, Rosalyn.
Well, that reminds me of, I think it was LeGrand Richards, way back, a general authority who would talk, and he would talk so fast. It was just so fun to listen to. And there used to be a little red button on the pulpit at conference that would say, time's up, and he would put his hand over it because he just had to deliver his message. But Kelly, I have that same tendency when I get up to give a talk to just kind of follow the Spirit, and I have gone over before, and you gave me an idea that I want to tell whoever's conducting beforehand, I might do that. You feel free to just get up and just tap me because I don't want you to be sitting there feeling awkward. Oh, should I say something? Should I say something? No, come tell me. Because if I do that, I want to be done. So you just gave me an idea. So that's what I'm for, what do you call it? Prophesying and preparing a plan to win. So
I love you. That.
Yeah. That's such great evidence of what we can do when we see, I do battle with this certain circumstance. And not that it's a battle, like really it's our righteousness and our gifts coming out and, you know, but because it can affect things like maybe I went too long or maybe I said too much or maybe I was a little too bold with that. You know, we get things, thoughts like that. But yeah, it's incredible to know that ahead of time, we can do a lot of our battling before we even start entering the field. Just by thinking, if this happens here, this will be my plan. If that happens, that will be my plan. I just love that.
I do too. And that's preparing for the attack and preventing, you know, the chemical spin from happening. I really like that. And with Kelly, your awareness and recognizing the lies and the attacks also helped empower you to go back to your habits and routines that you already have established. Your prayer and writing and all those that you mentioned are helping you to re-anchor to God and to know that you're safe there and you can trust Him and that He is guiding you. And that's where you want to be. And so many good things. And as we do that, we're transforming the shame. And that's what we need to know that we can do. We can transform that shame, especially when Satan is really trying to attack us when we're doing good things. And I find that happens a lot in my life as well. I'm doing good things and I just get flooded with attacks. And I do the same thing. I keep moving. I keep remembering what has worked in the past, my prayers and reading and listening to conference talks in the past has brought that peace and comfort. It helped me to stay holding tight to that iron rod, despite the attacks that continue to flood my mind. And I know that if I keep doing those things, that it's going to transform those lies, transform the shame, use the atonement of Christ, and that peace and comfort is then restored. So thank you.
Oh,
and I think it's helpful to know that, you know, we each have these personal battles like that. And that's almost like that spiritual wrestle that I think Sherry Dew talks about. She's got a really good talk on that. And she says, you know, when you have a spiritual wrestle like that, you turn to God. And she, you know, she talks in her talk about and how people will actually turn from God. And then it, you know, their life gets more chaotic and they're not finding happiness there. So if we can remember to turn to God, we're going to learn and grow and be strengthened through that. And it's going to help us to be able to fight that next battle.
Yeah. And I just have to say that so much of that comes from the enemy building up contention inside us about the truths of the gospel and what they really mean. Just the "be ye therefore perfect even as I am perfect," you know, that can turn into this really crazy thinking road that we go down, that we're never going to be good enough, that we've got to do better. You have to have it all lined up. But I just think that's incredibly important too, to just notice that, hey, a lot of times the adversary is trying to get us to turn away from God when we feel shame because of that contention that we feel inside ourselves that we'll never be good enough. I'll never be able to match up to all these church people that I see every week. The mess at my house is so huge and nobody else has one like that. I'm the worst mom. Look at everybody else's kids are cool and mine are weird. I wish we were reaching the milestones that all, you know, young adults were supposed to reach, but my kids aren't. They decided to do something different. You know, all that. Pretty soon, this, instead of seeing, well, the doctrine of Christ is just that long-term plan of repent and come unto me as many times as it takes. And that it's all about agency and people get to choose where they go on their journey and we just get to love them. But it's God's work to save them, right? I can't even save me. But I think that's really incredibly important to realize that the adversary wants to use the gospel to shame us, what we fight for to shame us, you know, and that he wants to separate us from God. So turning towards God, like Sherry Dew said, takes some real work reframing what that being perfect means.
Love that. Thank you so much. And yeah, so much there. And of course, the heart of all of that is turning to Christ, leaning on Christ, utilizing his atonement. What are some other things that you all do when you are fearing being imperfect? And how do you embrace, yes, I am imperfect, and lean into that and overcome that? What are some things that you do? Rosalyn?
The first thing that came to mind was in the lesson, the contrast is made that shame makes you feel I am flawed. Whereas I love what you just said, I'm imperfect. I'm imperfect just means I haven't gotten there yet. I'm flawed means I'll never get there. And so I just love to remember that shame is Satan's tool. And that feeling of guilt, like, oh man, I did something wrong, can lead me to God. So I like the alliteration there. And it just reminds me when I've done something I am so, so sad that I did, that it's part of life, that mistakes are part of life. I love this quote from Richard G. Scott. You become who you want to be by consistently being who you want to become. And the way I take that is I want to become a person that grows and improves, and mistakes are part of growth. And so, you know, there he goes. I'm growing. I made another mistake. I'm going to grow from this one, rather than seeing it as, see, it's proof that I'm just wrong. There's something wrong with me. No, it just means I'm trying.
Yeah, Absolutely.
I love that. That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Karen, go ahead.
I love President Nelson has a quote that I just think was so great and short and cute that we all need to remember. He says, men are that they might have joy, not guilt trips. You know?
And, I love it.
And then along with kind of what Rosalind just said, that Joseph Smith taught us that, you know, our journey through life and what mortality is all about is more like climbing a ladder. He says, when you climb up a ladder, you must begin at the bottom and ascend step by step until you arrive at the top. And so it is with the principles of the gospel. You must begin with the first and go on until you learn all these principles of exaltation. But it will be a great while after you have passed through the veil before you will have learned them. It is not all to be comprehended in this world. It will be a great work to learn our salvation and exaltation even beyond the grave.
So powerful. I love that. And our progression, it is nice to know that it is, you know, we have eternal progression. So we are going to continue to learn and grow. And I think often when we get stuck in a perfection loop, it halts our progress. And, you know, just like shame halts our progress, you know, is about progress and utilizing the atonement, recognizing those mistakes, as you said, Rosalind, and that's important to remember. I think that also leads into unrealistic expectations is another, you know, and one of them, you know, just one common lie or thought that probably comes into all of our minds is, oh, you're not good enough, or you didn't do that good enough. And we have to think, okay, well, who told you that wasn't good enough? You know, and the unrealistic expectations, I could have been better. I should have done this and it would have been better. If I would have only, you know, all that. And it's like, can you ever reach being good enough? And that's a trap that we need to be careful and, you know, acknowledge our successes, be positive about that, knowing that we're doing good things and that, yes, we are trying. And there's not really any failures. It's what are we learning now? What are we going to learn now? And so if we can look at it like that, that also helps to transform that shame because, okay, yeah, I made a mistake. I messed up again. Right. What did I learn from that? And then what's my plan to move forward? Do you have any thoughts on unrealistic expectations, like some other common lies that you or others you've heard are flooded with that can keep you stuck?
I was just coaching a gal yesterday and we had a long conversation and a lot of, you know, work around just the excitement of starting to change in a direction that you have been hoping for a long time. And then remembering how long you struggled in that arena that you didn't want to be in. Mm-hmm. And so feeling this elation of I'm gaining some momentum. I didn't think this was ever going to be possible for me. And here I am doing something. And then it was interesting how often in her language would come up these statements that kind of sounded like, is this going to last? I don't know if I'll be able to maintain this. What's going to happen when I'm done getting through this problem? Because then am I going to be strong enough to keep continuing doing these things? Because maybe my problem won't be as big. Is that why I'm doing so good? Because I'm working so hard because my problem's so big? Like she just was trying to figure it out. And I was like, yeah, isn't that crazy how even when we're seeing success, the enemy will say it's not good enough. And it's not going to be. You're not going to be able to sustain this. And you should be afraid of going forward for that place where you were just used to and comfortable. Maybe this could be your new used to and comfortable, just this good. Because really, that would be so disappointing if you get clear over there and you realize you're still a mess, you know. So it's just was so awesome to talk to her about the things that she's learning. And as she keeps implementing them and practicing them, those things aren't things you just use right now. They're things you keep using until you're safely dead. And they just work. No matter what scenario you're in, they work. But I did really compliment her on the courage to connect, because she had noticed that was the one thing, because she'd read books and gone to classes and done things, right? But the one thing that she hadn't done yet was that vulnerability piece to say, I just need some help. Who do I want to talk to about getting some help, right? And so she connected, you know, with me to get some coaching, but also with a group of women who are fighting for like-minded things like she is. That's been able to get her beyond all the stuff that just held her because she was trying so hard.
Yeah, I love that. So another antidote to shame is connection.
Totally.
And having those safe communities where you can share things and learn and grow and be loved and accepted. You know, another thing Brené Brown talks about, you know, everyone desires to be loved and belong. And, you know, we know as humans, we need that connection and that support. And being in a space where you know that you're going to have that is really important as we're working through hard things. Go ahead, Kelly.
One of the other things that I feel like has really helped me with perfectionism and shame in my life is learning to quickly forgive whoever it was that triggered that shame. And I did that immediately after church with the bishop. I just, you know, okay, I forgive the bishop for doing that. I forgive myself for putting him in a position where he had to do that. You know, those are the first things I try to do when I start feeling like someone's offended me or shamed me or embarrassed me, or however you want to, the vernacular you want to use for those feelings that were invoked. Forgiveness is a huge tool in battling the adversary. He does not like it. And grace is the power by which you can utilize that. It takes power from the Lord to be able to forgive sometimes, most times for me. It's not something I can do without the Savior. So,
yeah, I love that. And, you know, some people, there are some, you know, I guess really on any level, you know, with forgiveness, it takes effort in reaching out to the Savior. And that's where when we yoke ourselves with Christ, we can overcome all things and we can overcome impossible things. I've had many instances where I'm like, this is just impossible. You know, I'll never get to the other side. And that's not true, because when we turn to the Christ and utilize that atonement, that's where the tender mercies come in and the miracles, and things happen in ways that we never imagined, or we don't even understand how, you know, that, you know, those things came into our path to help us. And that's just really important to remember. And that humility and vulnerability and utilizing grace, it reminds me of a scripture. So, and if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. I love that. And, we have to remember that God does compensate for our weaknesses. And in one of Maurice's classes, he said, don't be stalled out by the things that reveal your weaknesses. And he was referring to Nephi, you know, and Nephi was a great problem solver. And he would go to the Lord and be like, okay, I have this problem. Now what do I do? And we saw many miracles in his story and his family story as he did turn to God and seek guidance and revelation.
And
Mark, go ahead.
That scripture has been really pivotal for me to just think about at lots of different angles. And there at the end where it says, then I will make weak things become strong unto them. I think a lot of us interpret that whatever your weakness is, it will, you know, become a strength. It will go away and you'll be strong if you come unto me. So we can get super frustrated if we're like, still weak?
No. So true.
No. I'm like checking all the boxes and I'm coming up to you, saying my prayers lots of times. And, you know, so we're like, I don't understand. But it's so good to that. When I was just considering that scripture, I thought of the Apostle Paul when he was like, take this thorn from my flesh, right? And the Lord was like, you know, I won't, because it's that weakness that you have that makes you so strong. Like, that's what helped you and I hang out. And that's what makes you so powerful, is you are super reliant and connected to, you know, be humbled by that. So you and I connect. And I just think it doesn't always mean I will make this weakness go away and make it strong instead. I will show unto men their weakness. Meaning, if you come unto me, then I will make weak things become strong unto you. Mm-hmm. I will change your perspective to notice that it is your weak things that make you really strong, because you and I don't get separated. And I'm going to bring you home successfully when you're on the other side and we get to the exaltation piece. Then that weakness can go away, right? But right now, I need you to see that that is your strength. It reminds me, just really quickly, I was sitting on my porch one day years ago with my son, who has been going through the programs here at Life Changing Services and was trying to get on a mission. And, oh, he could just, he'd come so far and then he'd fall. And he was, we were out on our porch and he just started to weep, just shake and weep and ask in so much shame, what is wrong with me? Why can't I stop doing this? I want to. I worked so hard at it. And here I am so close to something that I want and I keep missing it, you know? And anyway, it was so cool because I knew that the Spirit had come in to say, let me help you with this, Karen. It was like, I said to my son, oh, it's so painful, as I cried with him. And I said, I don't know the answer to your question the way you ask it, but there is something that I think is true, and it is, you are one capable, incredible man. And you are a really big threat to the enemy. So of course you're under attack in a big way. But not just that, could this weakness be kind of like a vote of confidence in you from God, where he's saying, I know how amazing you are and how vulnerable you'll be without a weakness, because you can, people love you. You're super talented. You're so intelligent. You're really influential. You have all these traits that the world could say, let's just take that guy and tell him he's awesome because he checks all the cool human boxes, right? I said, one thing it might be is God saying, I want you and I to do this together. And I don't want you, with all these cool strengths I've given you, to be without a weakness that connects us really closely. Yeah. So could that be it? You know, it was just a neat moment where I knew the Spirit was saying, this weakness is helping him to leave me, because he has a mission to do on earth, not just this mission for proselyting for 2 years. And I need him to be with me, for me to protect him, but also to do the work that he's commissioned to do, that I have confidence in him doing.
I love that. And remembering that our weaknesses are leading us to God and helping to bring that strength.
Yeah.
Christ. And that's where we've got me plus Christ equals more. And that's how we transform. And I know periods of time when things have been going pretty well and smoothly,
I've had to work harder to stay close to the Lord, because the attack at that moment is, oh, well, things are really good. You don't really need to have that connection. Although that's a subtle, because that's totally not my belief. My belief is I need to stay close to God every day and I need to fight for it. And so I've had to really be aware and really fight for always having the Spirit to be with me, making sure I'm saying my prayers and reading my scriptures and doing good things every day, especially now, because it seems like the adversary is, he's just working overtime and he doesn't let up. So we need to be on guard, and having, you know, that armor on every day helps me to navigate through the challenges and trials and attacks that come my way, and to seek that revelation to answers of things that I don't know how to solve in the moment. And another thing is, with our weaknesses, you know, another, you know, aspect of shame is we think it's permanent. We think that, oh, well, it's, you know, everywhere in our life, and that permanent, we have to just remember that it's temporary. And I was listening to a musician last week, and he said, on either side of wrong notes is the right note. And he was talking about the chromatic scale, which is made up of half steps, half step, da 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 da. And he's, you are never more than a half step away. So if you make a mistake, you correct it. So he's like, either way, you're one half step away. And he also reminded us that a wrong note is only temporary. It's only a half step away from the right note. And he talked about how failure was necessary to improve. And you know, when we talk about all the tools that we learn in Eternal Warriors, it helped me relate with how he was talking about, you know, when you learn all of the notes in music, then even if you miss a note, you're still going to be able to make music, and you're still going to be able to just move with it and go with it. And it's not as much as a stumbling block. And so I think with all of the tools that we learn, and all of these tools are really a reminder of the tools we already have been given from the Lord with our scriptures and prayer and connecting to Him. And it's helping us to refine our connection, refine our awareness, and being more resilient as we do connect with Christ. And so remembering the weaknesses we have, you know, like Karen, like you were sharing the story of the woman who was like, I'm working on this hard thing, you know, and there is a lot of progress when you look back, even from where they started. They are not permanently stuck there. You know, they have changed and they have progressed and they've moved. And so it is temporary gathering. And one thing with my own journey, as I faced really hard things, I have learned, instead of denying my experience and wishing it away, wishing it never happened, that kept me stuck actually for quite a few years, because I was so caught in the trap of, wow, why did this happen? What I could have done to prevent it. And I should have this and I should have that. There was so much shame there and blame on myself. And it wasn't until I finally accepted what had happened and accepted my story that then I could take a look at what I had learned and where I was, and take what I had learned and how can I use it to help others. So again, with very painful experiences, and that usually are full of a lot of shame, how can we transform that shame and pain into helping others on their journey? Yeah. Go ahead, Rosalyn.
What you just said and the story, Karen, that you shared about the time with your son remind me of things that the gospel teaches, and Brené Brown also taught, that we need to be the safe person for people to come to who have that shame and they want to get rid of it. I mean, when you've done something terrible, you want to just talk to somebody who will just love you through it. But so many times people will go, you what? But no, we want to be the person that said, oh man, like Karen, you said, that's so painful. You just empathize them through it and help them recognize they're not the only ones, you know. So as we go through painful things, like you said, Markel, we use them, learn the lesson, and then go forward trying to be that for other people, be the person who can comfort them and help them feel you can try again. It's okay. Part of life.
Yeah. It makes me think right now there's just episode 6 of the series of 6 podcasts on the Mothers You Know channel going out today. The 6th episode goes out and it's highlighting the Warrior Women of Light and Daughters of Light programs at Life Changing Services. And oh, wow. 4 of these women who, you know, have fought this battle with shame for years share how they overcame the shame and share their story. And yeah, it just makes me think, isn't that miraculous? It's like, you know, that's one of our calls when we have seen the darkness of the pit that we didn't ever want to be in and felt that deep shame of why we deserve to be there, or, you know, why we're not lovable because of it, how you've given up all the awesomeness that you hoped for in your whole life because this is where you are, all that stuff. It's amazing that they took that healing and realization of their battle with shame and the enemy and did exactly what you mentioned, Rosalind. They were the place other people could connect to that said, shame is a lie. Shame is a lie. All those things that you think keep you there and are reasons why you should stay there, that's a no. You know, you can do this. One of the gals shared, so beautiful. She said, I know, after she expressed her identity and who Jesus Christ was, not only did she say, you can feel the Savior's love when you're having an addiction to pornography, not after you're done with it. And then she said, you can be on day one of your sobriety every single day. And as long as you are facing Christ and praying, that's all that's required. So it was amazing.
Karen, will you remind us where we can find those 6 episodes?
Yeah, it's on the Mothers Who Know podcast channel. So you can go to mothershunow.org and click on the podcast tab, or you can just Google Mothers You Know podcast.
Thank you. So many great things. I love that. We are enough when we're facing shame and trying. And also remembering that our circumstance and situation, it's not who we are. It's something that's happening. And who we are, I think it's so important to remember our identity. We are sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father who loves us and who's provided a Savior for us to return back to Him, who loves us unconditionally as well. And remembering who we are and our identity, our true identity, stepping into our truth is so empowering, and it helps us to be able to then fulfill our mission and purpose here on the earth. And, you know, going back to the battle of remembering and forgetting, Satan wants us to forget that. And I'm seeing it more and more with men and women. He's just going right to the core, just tearing down their identity and who they are and their worth. And if we can, you know, continue to anchor to God every day through prayer and scripture study, even when we have these challenges that feel impossible, we're going to be able to find peace and comfort and hear His voice through the words of the scriptures and listening to the Spirit as we hear those promptings. And sometimes those promptings are going to come through another person because they are listening to the Spirit and they feel prompted to share a message with you that may be a direct answer to your prayers. And I love how Heavenly Father, you know, does just that, as you even said with the girls on those episodes, that, you know, they were able to be there for other people and they were able to expose the darkness and turn them back towards light so that they can, you know, find their path to joy and happiness. And it's great that we can be of service to one another and help each other and learn more and more of the tactics of the adversary, and then learn and remember that through Christ, we can conquer him and we can have eternal joy and happiness. So thank you all. So many great things.
Thank you, Markel. That was one so good.
Thank you for listening. As you can see, we are very enlisted in what we have learned and hope to teach. If you have found today's message inspiring, please share this podcast with family and friends so others can enjoy and be edified along with us. Be sure to download the free book that holds all the core principles behind what we teach. This book is called Like Dragons Did They Fight. You will find a link for that free download at Like Dragons Free. And remember, you can find all the life-changing resources, programs, and trainings needed for you and your family at lifechangingservices.org.